Yo, what's up, y'all? What's up, Square Pimp Brigade? On this episode, we have the great and funny and good friend of mine, Roy Woods Jr. We talk about gambling and cheating, video games, responsibilities to cheating, and understanding how to be petty sometimes. We talked a little bit about that.
On the Patreon, the Patreon is really exceptionally good because Roy tells a couple, we have some revenge stories, and Roy tells a really good revenge story that I did not see coming. And that one was just a fun one to shit. So if you want to go over, a great way to support the show is patreon.com/manschool202. If you subscribe, we're doing, you know, listener mail. We're doing bonus content. So it really helps us out.
I'm not an alpha male. I'm not a beta male either. I'm just a better man. Better man. Well, put your happiness first, because if you don't, they won't.
Yo, what's up, y'all? GYBB, get your balls back. WWDD, what would Dante do? The sexual revolution is being podcasted, and I am excited. We got a special guest today, and I know I've said that 500 times before, but this time I mean it. Harry, what's going on? You ready to rock and roll?
I am ready to rock and roll. I'm full of energy, full of COVID, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, that's energy. That's what they call energy now, is COVID.
I got something. It's something going around here. I'm all right, but my girl's been laid up. She's in rough shape. It's been 4 days.
It's because she's COVID. She's COVID. You know what I mean? She got the COVID in her. I feel like you put it in her.
I put something in her, but I can't, blame COVID.
Nah, maybe not.
If you could catch it that way, we're fucked.
Well,
I'm a raw dog.
You get some stink on your hang down every once in a while. You know what I mean?
I like saying I'm a raw dog.
Yeah, did I just mute this or no?
No, I can hear you.
Can
you
hear me?
I can hear you.
Man,
real professional setup we got here, Roy. This doesn't always happen, I swear to God. This is not what we do every fucking week. Why would we do this every week if this is what it was, Roy?
The fucking microphone was on the keyboard. That's why I kept turning it down. Anyway,
okay.
Let me take this time to introduce our guest, special guest, good friend of mine. Been killing it all over the fucking country and doing this thing. Really, really enjoy watching this dude on stage. And we're going to get into it today. Give it up for my boy, Roy Wood Jr., y'all. Give it up.
Yeah, man.
What's going on, bro? Are you good?
Yeah, man. I'm good, man. I ain't got no complaints. Just over here being a father, trying to write a script or two in between that and reconnect with my PlayStation, you know?
Okay. All right. Cool. That's cool.
Me and the PlayStation, you know, we grew apart for a little while.
Hey, back in. You want to put a little more time in since the Omarion. The Omarion is back.
So one of your things, so for you, Roy, you're like, you know what? I got to make the most of this time. I got to get I know I have a 5-year-old, but my number one goal is I got to get back together with this PlayStation.
Yeah, I done fell off on all my games. Motherfuckers whooping my ass online. I was like, this is not the business. What happened, like, me and the kid are good. We build and bond, but fucked around trying to play one of these Nintendo Switches, and then I done found a website where you can play old school Sega Genesis games.
Oh,
online.
Wow. Okay.
See, now you're talking.
These emulators and shit, and John Madden died. I played Madden 93 for like a day and a half. The old school Sega joint.
Yeah,
then
you're
playing it. Like and then you're playing the game with a PlayStation controller, so you still got to learn the buttons.
See,
and I played them complicated ass PlayStation games where it take a day and a half to learn how to play the game again. You can get back into it, because you know these games, man, it's too many fucking buttons now. We need to go back to that 2-button Nintendo joint.
You remember the Atari was a 1-button and a stick. One button and a stick, but
button did 40 different things.
Yeah, I did the I bought the Oculus and it was faulty for Christmas.
I got one. I haven't had a chance to really delve into it. I be playing online poker on it. Somebody called me a nigga at the table, And oh, I don't know. I don't know why that was the funniest shit to me.
What button is that?
That's a secret button. It's A, which B, code? Up, down, up, down, B, right, oh, trigger.
Man. You got to hit this the N-I-N-I. You're like, what? What code this is this?
Call me a nigga. I gave him the middle finger. Oh. And then everybody at the table voted me away from the table.
What?
Yeah, really? I was like, what the fuck did I do?
Wow. I'm guessing this was Texas Hold'em.
Yeah, it's what in, it was
in Texas.
In Texas, really, Texas Hold'em.
What it was that I was taking too long to play, and they were getting annoyed. But you get 60 seconds,
right?
To, not even 60; it's like 20 seconds. It's not a long time,
right?
But they was like, "Motherfucker, hurry up, hurry up!" And I'm like, "Bitch, I get 20 seconds to decide. Come right. on, nigga." And like for poker players, you would rather like someone being taking too long to play is worse than a racist being at the table.
Really?
Absolutely.
Really?
And I get it. I like if I'm in a rush, don't nobody want to play poker with a bunch of motherfuckers thinking it. It's fake money. It's Oculus poker.
Yeah.
For like $20, it's not fake money, but it's like $20 gets you like 40,000 gajillion billion okay. credit to, you know, it's Monopoly money. What the fuck are we doing here, man? Hurry up.
Is that a thing though? Like in general, it's just not, you got to play fast or is that?
They wouldn't, I don't think niggas would size you up like that in real life.
No.
In real life with real money, you're not going to rush me. But in real life, I think you also get a minute to decide. Yeah. But that can drag games on and it's harder to make your money back if you down. So I get it. But the dude didn't have to call me.
This is where we're at in terms of how we are abused in this country where you go, listen, I did take long. He called me a nigga. I get it. Like it's like we're literally at a point where we go, come on. Yeah, I was being a nigga,
kind of. It's like, all right, fine. It's the internet. There's racism. And I make my own Abby. I could have made myself green or some non-nigga color, but I chose to be a nigga in the VR world.
Right. Well,
so you're going to get some, you're going to catch some strays.
That's interesting that we don't want to be nothing else, never. No aliens. We don't want to be purple. We don't want nothing. We don't want the avatar we pick. The avatar you pick is probably you. This like you right now in the yellow hoodie. I'm good with me.
Yeah, I'm comfortable with how I look. So
you play poker a lot?
I'm not a serious, but it's a stress relief. It's no different than video games, jigsaw puzzles, Sudoku. Anything where my brain has to turn on and it pushes every other thought out of my head.
Okay.
So I try to play cheaper. One, two, hold 'em, 2-3, you know, shit like that, where the smokers are, where the sad people are. $5 blackjack, like that type of shit. Like, for real, like, that's where, like, so when I started stand up, you know, I'm a down south nigga. So,
yeah. Where you from down south?
I'm from Birmingham.
Okay.
And so stand up in the South, every night you're in a different city. This open mic, multiple club shit, that didn't exist anywhere but maybe Atlanta and Tampa-ish.
Right.
Like that Tampa, St. Pete, Gulf Coast side. You get in a couple nights in 1 week doing open mic. Otherwise, you travel. So the casinos along the Gulf, you know, Biloxi, Mobile, New Orleans, you could get in a lot of work there. So I'd perform and then I would go and do like $5 blackjack or something. And it was chill. And like, that's just where you meet regular motherfuckers, bro. And like, if you just want to just take the temperature of the country, play, go to a casino and play table games at the table minimums.
Right.
And you will fucking meet America like in a fucking heartbeat. They got dollar blackjack in Vegas. It'd be a fucking 45-minute line just to get to the table.
Really?
Yeah. So I like poker more for that reason. You know, like I know the strategy, you know, but I'm also the nigga that plays blackjack who doesn't obey every rule. That when the dealer shows four, but you have a two, you're supposed fuck that. I'm playing to win this time. People get mad at you. So, you know, I'm that guy some nights, but.
So you play like just for fun and stress relief. You don't want to, you're not in it for the money haul because that's.
Fuck
that
no.
can be stressful. Yeah, I can't stand
losing. To play with people who aren't there for the money
right.
haul.
Yeah.
Like, oh, dude. By LAX, they tore it down to build the new Rams stadium, but Hollywood Park Casino on Century, that used to be the lick, bro. I would land from a red eye at like 6 a.m. in LA, and then I would just go straight to the casino for like 3 hours because I didn't want to go home.
Really? And I've never been able to get out. Like, I you know, we used to play CeeLo in Brooklyn. And when I was young, but I was a little wild motherfucker. So I was rolling dice and I would lose and I'd be like, nah, we gotta do that over. And they were like,
no.
And they kind of wouldn't stop me because I was a little wild dude. And my uncle said to me, look, if you can't gamble and lose, don't gamble. He said, because motherfuckers going to kill you if you keep you if you don't have the gambling. It's about losing. You got to be willing to lose. And I don't gamble. I don't even play lotto, really. I don't play nothing.
I flirt with that. Yeah. You know, if the, like right now there was a jackpot that was like $400 million. All right, motherfucker, give me $4.
I'll do that.
Then it's a pick'em. I ain't sitting there choosing. My grandmother was 71 when she died, and plus my birthday. No, man, just $4.
What happens is you see the little thing that says $400 million, and then you instinctually like, I know I can't win that, but then you can't walk away because now you know.
What if I didn't put it in?
Now I'm going to feel like an asshole. It's like at work, whenever they do, I never do the lottery. But if they take a collection, I'm absolutely chipping in because I'm not going to be the asshole on the side while they're doing that press conference with the giant check in the cafeteria. and I still got my work hat on, my safety vest on while everyone else is collecting money.
I set the cap at 300 for the year. Once I'm down 300 across the board in all gambling capacities.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
So
I really feel like only person that's going to ever, only comics that's ever going to win the lotto is Tracy Morgan. He'll hit it.
Yeah, just to be spiteful. Right. I won it twice. Joke. I went in my Lamborghini to pick up my lottery check. Like it's also an adrenaline rush.
Yeah.
Gambling, which is something that I've identified that's one of my fucking that's one of my things. You know, I ain't no cocaine nigga, I ain't no weed nigga, but you know, if you can figure out that's really comedy checks that box enough.
Well, yeah.
That I don't have to wild out.
Yeah.
But yeah, fuck it. Let me put $300 on like if I play blackjack for no reason. I win a hand, I'll just keep doubling the winnings for five straight hands.
Okay.
Just
to see what happens. Yeah.
Yeah, but again, it's $5 minimum. So at this point, it's, he's got $70 on the table. But to people betting $5 at a time, they're like, this nigga's crazy.
So you're like the James Bond of the $5 table.
Austin Power. Roy. I also like to live dangerously.
Roy is at a $2 Baccarat table with a tuxedo.
With a white tuxedo and an eye patch. He's got a white tuxedo and an eye patch.
He goes, let me have a large Four Loko.
it's one of the few times that I get to just have regular conversations with strangers. That and public transit, you know. Yeah. But public transit, it's very much more high and by. But like, if you really want to just take the temperature of just America in general, play a table game on a weeknight, because that's when they play for real.
Yeah. They're not coming on the weekend. This is what we do. I got off work and I came here.
I still got
my name tag on my shirt.
Or worse, I'm starting my overnight shift. I came before work.
Yeah, so I could
still got my janitor's uniform on.
I got my lunch with me.
What's the strangest thing you found out, or the most interesting thing you found out from checking that temperature with people? while you're doing
lotto? There's a lot of people down bad on the health side of the game. Also, there's a lot of people where it's some table minimums, but low key, like that shit is life or death for them. Like this little $20,
they trying to live off. Yeah, that, I'm off trying this to flip. Win.
I'm trying to flip this shit. So you know, you understand the base level shit that people are concerned with. Like if you play, put it this way, I used to play. Shout out to Penguins in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, where like in Davenport. It's in Davenport. Louisiana. There's like a bunch of this is in Iowa. This, okay, yeah, like Iowa. Up and down the Mississippi, there's a bunch of shitty casinos. Like when you think about the Mississippi River, other than St. Louis and Memphis, there's no real major cities that are just sitting. It's all just small town factory, blue collar fucking places and shit.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was there and just playing like on a Sunday afternoon. And there's just a dude in there that was like up $180. And then he lost it. He fucking lost it in like four hands. And the nigga lost it and he sat there for like five more hands processing
that he lost
$180.
Wow.
And I'm like, God damn, man, I need to leave because this nigga might come back and murder everybody. Like, he had shoot up the place energy. Oh, fuck. But, you know, you start finding out, you know, that's really where you find out a lot about relationships and shit.
Yeah.
Truth be told, because like niggas will share. They'll share.
What do they share?
I can't explain it, man. You share. You quicker to share with a stranger than you are your people.
I'm not because there's no judgment. No judgment, you know?
Yeah. Bitch took this and took that. Ain't no sense in there. I'm going to fucking stay here another fucking hour.
Yeah,
I cut my fucking benefits and fucking Larry, because he knows two other people at the table, so you listening, you just...
Irregular.
He's dropping on crosstalk and shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a weird thing in terms of relationships, when you talk about relationships and regular dudes going to work and going to casinos and, you know, and where $180 means nothing. It's also interesting to me that the stories are the same no matter how much the money is involved. You know what I mean? I mean, it's nobody's. You talk about somebody who's rich who gets taken for 10 million, or I won't say taken for 10 million, but they divorce and then it's 10 million. She gets sent 10 million a year or whatever the fuck it is. But that 180 is the same as the 10 million of them. It's the same. Correct. Everybody's living that same kind of thing. And kind of what I find more than anything, it's the thing that gets you really in control of whether or not you, how these things affect you, how relationships affect you. Cause I know you got a 5-year-old, right? You with your girl or y'all married or y'all just together?
We're together. Yeah. Been together the whole run.
How long has that been?
About 7 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. And somewhere in that ballpark. So like that's probably been one of the most stable parts of my life.
Really? You know? Really?
Yeah. Cause I was wild in my 20s and early
20s, as you should be though.
That's the time to get wild. That's the time to be wild. What were you doing?
And so then just cheating, apologizing, then cheating again. The usual wash, rinse, repeat. But
I'm sorry, baby. Could you pull your dick out before you apologize?
Hey, my bad. Oh, shit, I did it again. My bad again. Like that type of shit that you get old and you go, damn, I ain't even had to live the game like that.
Yeah.
It was chicks who would have been with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just needed to work harder to find them. So, you know, that
part. Or you could have asked. I'll tell you something else. Sometimes it's just a matter of asking.
Yeah.
You just, the assumption is that ain't nobody going to pull this off.
But the problem is growing up a Southern Baptist, you're sold that monogamy is the way, the truth, and the only way. So this idea of juggling chicks, especially if you haven't come from a world socially, like no one in my social circle was really like that. Even in college, most of the niggas that I ran with
was
monogamous, and then they had something on the side. But they never, I never had the the Bill Bellamy, D. Ray Davis ass nigga who would just walk in with three chicks and we're all together.
Yeah, yeah.
Table
yeah.
for four, please.
Yeah.
Like, I ain't never seen no shit like that before in my life on a regular basis. So you end up with arguing and apologizing, getting caught, and then having to do the maintenance of trying to rebuild or letting that go and then building something new. So
that something else that you're going to fuck up again.
So as my career started growing, I became a little bit more workaholic-ish.
Uh-huh.
And I probably still am to a degree now, to a point where just juggling just ain't efficient for my timetable.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
It's just not. And so now the only other way you're going to catch some pussy on the side is that it's got to be something quick and easy. And
something that falls in your lap. You in the elevator and somebody starts sucking your dick.
And nothing's free, bro.
Yeah,
none's free, and that's the type of pussy you can't trust once you at a certain altitude career-wise.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So the type of chick that you need to be fucking with, you really can't fuck with, and you don't have the time. And you like,
it's a part-time job, man. It's a part-time job to get it right. Yeah.
And so then it's I bet you all the women be at you after the show, even if they were. Bitch, I got to this. I'm away from my son for 2 days. I get to sleep.
Yeah,
I get to fucking sleep, and then I get to write uninterrupted. Like
That quiet time more than anything.
You're going to make me do a song and dance that will last about 5 to 6 hours cumulatively. If we're just basing this on, and this is just on some, we ain't even getting into morality yet. On the efficiency of it. After the show, we have to go to a bar. That's 2 fucking hours, maybe 3. Then we get to fuck. That's another hour. Sleep. Get up in the morning and then maybe fuck again. And then it's 3 hours of fucking some stupid breakfast
with
you in my space and me not being mentally settled because you're in my fucking space.
Right, right.
And then you're watching.
And I don't know if like I want you there.
Yeah. And then are you going to come back the next night and leave me the fuck alone? Like it just stuff that made perfect sense and was fine at fucking 23,
the aggravation
33, but my nigga, I'm 43.
Yeah.
Also, you just don't have the energy as far as time goes. Like, not just as you get older, you just don't have the energy to do all that shit. You need that sleep just in general. Like,
yeah, it really is a better fucking situation.
Yeah.
Mental
energy, too. There's a lot of mental, like, is this chick going to say something? Is this the type of chick who's gonna make an accusation later on? Is she nuts? Is she gonna try to steal my shit?
Yeah, we don't even have to get to that yet.
Yeah.
I'm just, bitch, I'm busy. Go home.
Yeah.
Then it's,
oh, you can't stop him.
Are you gonna fucking rob? Are you gonna kick door? Then after that, it's, well, morally, I shouldn't be fucking. Like, would most people be like, oh, well, that should be the first thing. I guess, but it don't matter as long as you ain't doing it. Just, it does why? Fucking matter, because I know niggas who getting robbed.
Yeah,
I know niggas who done got the fucking door kicked in.
Yeah. Especially in a casino.
Yeah, I'm talking comedians.
Yeah, oh really?
I'm sure you know the stories. Like, I know niggas who have a second bedroom, and that's the room where they fuck chicks.
Uh huh.
Jesus Christ, that's so much money.
And then when you're done, but at that point, it's an investment. If you know you're getting just dropped, suck my dick on an elevator, instantaneous, brown and serve, as we call it.
Right.
If you're getting brown and serve pussy, then maybe it's a wise investment to have a second hotel room so she can't steal your shit while y'all sleep.
And well, you know,
go to your real room.
Yeah. It's also kind of a thing, though, when you start to, when you really start get, like, what you're talking about is, I need some sleep. I need I want some time to be creative and to write. I need time. I don't want you in my space. All of those things speak to how much you think your personal value is. Like, you about what you got to do, not about how bad this chick is and how am I going to get this? Like, it's an objective. I you know, I don't know if you know this word, but I do consultations here and there. I do like one-on-one phone consultations. So a dude could have a problem and call me up. Just go to DanteNever.com, click on consult, and you can talk to me. And it's funny, I just had a call from a kid today. He couldn't have been more than 20-something. He's like, Dante, I got this date. It's this girl. I met her, but he's really excited because he had a problem. You know, I was working with him before. He kind of had a lot of approach anxiety. And he gets this girl. She's really cute, and we're going to take out. And I just wanted to call you before. And I was like, you're going to blow this anyway. And he was like, what? I go, you already fucked up. I said, because you have put this chick on a pedestal in a way that you don't even know if she deserves. I'm not saying that you can't find some bad chick, the one or whatever. I mean, I don't know if that exists. But the fact that I said, you approached her. He said, yes. I go, and you got the reservation for the restaurant. Yeah. He goes, yes. And then you're going to pick her up. Yeah. I go, are you going to pay? Yeah. I go, so what did she contribute in the course of that whole process? He goes, oh, well, I mean, she's hot. I go, what did she personally contribute to this social engagement? He was like, yeah, I see what you mean. I go, no, I need an answer. He goes, nothing. I go, okay. She's attractive. He goes, yeah. I go, well, how did she get attractive? What did she do to become attractive? She just showed the fuck up attractive. I go, do you know if she's a thief? I go, you don't even know if a pussy might smell like hot dog water. You have put this whole idea of what her value is simply because of this interaction. And I said, you have to understand on a base level that when you value yourself, your time is important. And your assumption is that because she's attractive, that she has value, which she might not have value. I don't care. Relationships and relationships, whatever level that is, none of it is unconditional. You know, I'm willing to do this because I think you are this bad. You know, so I'm willing to. Whereas, if you got
a lady, she got to kick in.
Right, something got to happen. Something. What am
I?
I
got to kick in. Yeah.
I go. Do you know if she's interesting? I said, she funny. I don't know. I just met her and we exchanged numbers. I go, so she's contributed nothing. I go, I tell you, really, honestly, I tell young dudes all the time, even if she fucks you out the gate, you've never met a girl that fucks you longer than you fuck her. So even on the energy you expend in this sexual engagement, you lose in that as well. You got to work hard. You got to perform. The pressure on is beautiful. She can lay back and starfish, and it won't even matter, you know. So we're literally in a situation where this young dude believes that this girl's literal existence
has value
over everything. Now, I mean, he's approached her. He's dealt with certain fears and anxiety about, you know, his own insecurities. So he's surpassed that. He set up he got to detail the car. Now he got to gas it up. He got to pay for parking. He on and on and on. And she has not contributed anything. And she's going to sit there and sit up like she's the queen with the thumb, you know, it'll be thumbs up or thumbs down when it's all done.
I think what he has to figure out is, I just look at that. It took playing NCAA football for PlayStation 3 for me to kind of understand.
Oh, boy.
Dating. This might even be back PlayStation 2.
Right.
You're bullshitting. You had to recruit players during the off season, and
during like the season mode, like
correct.
The,
when you run the dynasty mode or whatever, you're the head coach, right? So you play whatever regular, you play the game, do the championship, win the championship, you don't, and then you have to go and visit high school students. This is within the game for the people who've never played it.
This is fantastic.
You have to actually recruit the players, and the level of aggressiveness with which you recruit dictates the type of players you get back on your squad to dictate right. whether or not you can win the game. So right. the game gives you options on how to recruit. And this is real shit. You could send a letter. You could send an assistant coach.
Right.
You could make a phone call. Or you, the head coach, could go yourself. Go.
Right.
And of course, each level dictates whether or not what the player responds to. And you can't burn head coach coupons on everybody, so you got to use them real wisely on recruits that you think this much.
Right,
and you can look at the recruit and see if he shows interest. You know, he wants to play in the Southern school at wide receiver. Oh, I need a wide receiver, motherfucker, head coach. Uh-huh. So this date for this guy with this girl, he's going full head coach.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's going bells and whistles.
He's going hell coach.
He's getting her to visit the campus.
Yeah.
The whole nine. And that doesn't mean that she won't be worthwhile at some point. But you're going into it. No, but until that's what I'm saying. So that brings me back to the point. Yeah. You're going into it knowing very little about this recruit.
Right.
You don't know if she wants to play wide receiver at a Southern school.
Uh-huh.
You just sending the head coach out the gate because you know she's a five-star recruit.
So
to everything that you're talking about, maybe some of that stuff could have been ascertained in phone calls. Maybe that could have been ascertained in some chit-chat. But then you also don't know, you know, there's some women that want to talk on the phone a little bit before first date. And then there's some who go, no, nigga, let's go out.
Let me get a vibe, but we'll see what you're about.
You have coffee and my undivided attention for an hour, go. Mm-hmm. And then there's ones that want you to spend $200 off the rip. You still get my undivided, but it's gonna cost you a little more.
But all those are also indicators of what that person is too. The whole thing is indicators. How they react, how they dress, how all of it is indicators. The behavior, the expectations.
Yeah, the bar that's set at what mile marker.
You can know if you want $200 on the rip. If you want $200 on the rip and you haven't invested anything, I'm good. I'm already good. And not because I might spend $200 on the rip. Like Harry tell you, if him and I go out,
Dante takes care of all of it. Refuses to accept payment. The best I could do is sometimes I go, let me get the tip at least. And he reluctantly gives me that. But I had to explain to Dante what a Groupon is. He goes, what are you talking about? I've never heard that word.
It's a weird thing because, you know, I'm getting the tomahawk steak. I'm definitely getting the tomahawk steak. And so, but if I live like that, and this is something I was telling Harry for years, I'm like, if I live like that anyway, and then you as a woman who happens to be, you know, this is company. I'm bringing you on as company.
Along for the ride. Mm-hmm.
You're just along for the ride. I'm not doing this for you. This is how I live anyway. To the same token, I remember this back in the days. I mean, Tony Rock was when he first started doing comedy, right? And he was like, he was outside the cellar. He was like, yo, man, y'all don't do. Look, this is what I do. This is when he first was on the grind, like Tony was on the grind in the beginning, right?
Yeah.
And he was like, you want to hang out with me? You could come here, watch me perform. Then we can grab a bite to eat. And if you want to come back and bone, we could bone. But this is happening. And you get to be part of, which, to be real honest, a lot of times we take for granted, Roy, how great our life is. As a comic, the people that we hang out, the fun that we have, the conversations, the interactions that we have on a day-to-day basis on a slow Tuesday, you can hang out with three comics that you don't even know, and it'd be the greatest time ever. And then Wednesday, you could do it again with five other dudes. You know what I mean?
Yep. Straight round robin.
Yeah. And so it's like if you're living your life like that, but I was like, this guy is like, this young kid, he's creating these airs because he's trying to meet whatever her value is. And he hasn't really assessed her value because he's a young dude. She's attractive. And all he thinks getting sex is the most important thing. It takes time to get to that point where you're talking about where you're 43 years old and you're going, my time is more important than your attractiveness.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, much like, to bring it back to the game, it could be a recruit that's not interested, but you could send a letter and then you check back in a week.
Yeah.
You do a phone call and check back in a week. Then you send the assistant coach and you check. And eventually that might be something that, you know, is worthwhile. Because, you know, what I will say, though, is that I think women are – I think women to a degree also – if you're a fine, gorgeous woman, you got to be sick of going out with dumb niggas too.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
You gotta, like, regardless of what bar you've set and it's ridiculous, you got to be tired of just dealing with dummies.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
you got to want to just go out with somebody decent. So – if it's worth trying to overspend initially or overextend, not overspend, overextend your efforts and your money, I mean, fine. But I do think that there are people that are going to show a different window, you know. But I just think you do have to, you know, do like Tony Rock say, man, just set your boundaries. Go, this is what it is. This is what I am.
Yeah.
Either you're with it or you're not. And you will eliminate a lot of riffraff.
Yeah.
You know.
I find, I not only know you will eliminate a lot of the riffraff, but I think what also happens is what a woman will do for you doesn't mean she'll do it for somebody else, you know.
Correct.
So the girl little she'll fuck on the first day for you and not fuck on the first day for me. Do you know what I mean? It's there's a standard of it. Just like this guy, you're going out for you trying to do $300 dinner or something like that. There's a standard that we're and what I find more than anything is you. How does somebody know what your value is? You tell them. If they just met you, how do they know you? I mean, you know, to a certain extent, they're going to Google you, or like, especially if you on TV, they're going, you know, there's a certain prestige to that. But the person that you are, you communicate who you are as a person in terms of the subtext. I say this over and over again, there's a subtext to how you walk. There's a subtext to how you talk, the tone of your voice, the cadence of your voice, what you allow, how you dress, how you handle yourself, how you approach, what you will put up. All of those things allude to what you think your value is. And women, because they have to be aware of who they're dealing with because they don't want to get murdered, they're very good at reading it. And cutting through the bullshit and reading the subtext of, well, this guy's this guy's that or whatever, and being able to communicate the subtext is something I think that people don't understand.
Yeah, I think that, you know, it takes also realizing how many ain't shit dudes are out there, and how many that woman has met or gone out with before she met you.
Yeah.
She just motherfucking talk. I went out with a girl one time, nigga. She had a 40 question worksheet.
Really? And she went down the 40 questions.
She emailed me.
Really? A
fucking Word document with.
Really?
What year was this? How long ago was this?
I'm not gonna put a year on it.
Okay. No, fair enough.
Statute of limitations.
It wasn't the current. The current. But at the time, I was like, you know what? Fuck it.
And you filled it out.
Yeah, I was like, if this makes you feel comfortable going, this is new. This is definitely new. And it was like, all right, if this is how you process shit. And it ended up being okay.
What was the questions?
What were some of the questions?
Just, how do you, your faith, and do you want kids, and just all of the usual.
She listened to Steve Harvey. She was reading Steve Harvey's book.
I will tell you, this is pre-Steve Harvey.
Okay.
Pre-Steve Harvey relationship guru. It's no different. It was like a lot of them eHarmony questions. I don't know if you've ever done like the dating
website. Yeah.
Years ago,
And eHarmony would make you fill out these. It's a 70-point personality profile. So it was a lot of shit like that. And I was like, all right.
Dante, I guess you're tired of
dealing
site.
With niggas and then finding out that they smoke or that they drink too much or whatever your deal breakers are, you're trying to ascertain what your floor is.
Right.
And do I meet the floor?
All right.
I'm not, listen, I wouldn't do it again.
Right.
Duncan, somebody, you would write back your own thing. It's just one question. Are you DTF? And then you would type that 40 times.
like The Shining.
Yeah. Are you DTF?
Just in a real typewriter too.
Not even a word.
Yeah, I didn't cut and paste that 100 times. I wrote it over.
She flipped through the page. You sent her a whole manuscript. She flipped through the pages and it just said, "Are you DTF? Are you DTF?" Roy, why? What makes this relationship different? I mean, obviously, you're older, you're wiser, you're smarter, but was there something about this particular relationship that 7 years?
I had a kid.
Oh yeah, well,
yeah. I mean, even before the kid, I think that you settle in prior to her. This I can give this time to, but I dated someone before her, months before, who had said some shit that, you know how you didn't even know something could piss you off the level at which it pissed you
off?
Because it had never manifested itself in a relationship before. And mind you, most relationships prior to this was either me cheating or growing apart. Like it wasn't like some where I felt wronged.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
It's just, oh damn, I'm moving to LA. You in Birmingham. I'm broke. I can't afford to be long distance.
Right.
All right, Dan.
That's Dan.
You know, that's,
and you
that's
wrote that in a letter, which is weird to read in a handwritten letter.
Versus you cheated on me, get the fuck out of my life. That's more clean, right? But then this one, it was just a casual fucking afternoon. And granted, there was already like strike one, strike two between she and I, but it wasn't anything egregious that we should break up over. It was a random day. And you know how sometimes you have those days, bro, where it's three cities in one day. I was doing a bunch of college runs.
Right.
So you land in one city, you do a day show, you drive to the next city, you do the night show, you get in a car and drive to another city so that you're in place for morning radio for your weekend gigs that start the next day.
Right.
Three cities, one day. It's not frequent, but it's not an uncommon thing to happen.
Yeah, and it ain't fun.
Ain't fun.
Yeah.
But it's essential at that mile marker in your career.
Yeah.
She mumbled, "You doing too much." And I don't know what the fuck clicked in my head, bro, but I was done.
Yeah.
I was done. There is no need for a discussion.
Right.
Because if you don't understand hustle, and me trying to go get it,
because it's only gonna get worse.
I'm not even doing shit for real with my career yet.
Yeah.
And I'm doing too much.
Yeah,
you gotta go.
Yeah,
you gotta go.
I'm all sorry, right, then. This ain't gonna work. All right then. So you go from that to meeting a woman who goes, "Yeah, I have a perfectly great cush job in D.C. working for the government, and it's everything that everyone dreams for, and I'm going to quit it, and I'm going to move to another city and start my own company." This is our first conversation.
Right.
And so I'm like, oh, this bitch crazy. She's insane. This is perfect.
Right. This is perfect.
This is perfect because she's
on my level.
Yeah. I will never have to explain hustle to you.
Right. You get
At no point in our relationship have I ever had to explain why I gotta go do something. If anything, it's go do it, baby.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you need, man.
Yeah.
And once you have that level of focus, knowing that you have that foundation at the crib, that shit it's reassuring. It's good. I'm not gonna sit here and say that dating one person is for everybody, but you know, the construct works for me.
Yeah, well, I would say too that if you and Harry's went through this, where you if you get a roster, if you do a roster, you're responsible for the roster. Like you can like dogs all you want, but that don't mean you want to have five of them. You got to walk five of them. Hmm. You got to feed five of them. You got to make sure the shots are there. Like if you got five girls, I've said this to dudes who do not believe me. I was like, look, if you want to, I'll teach you the game that you can be the D-Ray or Bill Bellamy. I'll teach you
old
how to
Bill
do that.
Bellamy. Let me also put that.
That's old there. Bill Bellamy.
Bill,
yeah.
Bill is on married and children Bill's a straight up dude.
Yeah. I mean,
back
but
in the
he
day, quite the cocksman.
Yeah. When his hair was beautiful when he used to go up
the gel fade. He had the only gel fade, the G-E-L gel.
Yeah.
Bill understands how to use charisma as a weapon on stage, though. I know that's a separate conversation for another day, but he understands how to engage women through his act.
Yes.
Women go see Bill Bellamy and they feel heard.
Yeah.
And that opens people up to laugh. And I don't know if you've watched some of his shit just in the last five to 10 years.
Yeah.
Oh, bro.
Yeah.
Crazy, Sexy, Dirty, if I'm not mistaken. That was his last project, I think 2016. You want to double check it?
Okay.
But he's talking to women and niggas are just there because the women are there. And then we laugh too. Like it's just.
Yeah. 2012. Crazy, Sexy, Dirty.
Okay. So that hour was very much geared at women and letting women know, ladies, I hear you. Here's this, here's that, here's why guys do this. And it wasn't like mansplaining on some dumb shit either. And that's like, it wasn't like you were, as a dude, it's not like you're watching Bill Bellamy going, this motherfucker just kicking to these motherfucking chicken tracks. Never just trying to get some pussy from the stage. Fuck
yeah.
Like it was, it never felt like that. But.
Well, he also was a dude. He never had to really, you know what I'm saying? It's not like he was doing without. So it allows you to be honest about what's really going on when you don't have an objective.
You don't feel like you're walking on eggshells.
You know, when you don't have an objective. I mean, Bill always was never had a problem getting ladies. So for him to kind of make a decision to not or to be honest about some real shit allows you to do so. The problem is when you have an objective. When there's an objective, well, here's what I wanted to ask you. Do you think that was purposeful, or do you think that just is how his comedy and the art kind of came out of him, that this was something that he wanted to say and it just developed in that way? Or do you think it was purposeful?
I think it developed in that way. I don't think anything about Bill Bellamy is manufactured. He's just a naturally charismatic guy.
Yeah.
Like he is what that it factor, like they say. The dude that everybody, you want to be the man that every nigga wants to hang out with, or have a drink with, and you want to be the man that every woman wants to fuck.
Yeah, yeah.
And Bill is that guy.
Yeah.
And so that comes through naturally, you know, on stage. I mean, even with his, live show for a while, like I know they were, like they hand out roses and shit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, him and D-Lay, I know Ali Sadiq was with him for a while.
Yeah.
They're doing the Teddy Pendergrass comedy show. Just all ladies in the audience, chocolates.
Come on up here and get your rose, baby. And women trust him, and they come get it because it's Bill Bellamy. But if a nigga like me said, come get a rose, he'd be like, ugh, nigga, what the fuck?
What you trying to do?
What you trying to do? I don't know about that. At a Bill Bellamy show, it's a fucking line of people waiting. Are we going to get it? Like they waiting to talk to Santa Claus.
Really?
In the middle of a fucking comedy show.
Really?
Bro, I ain't never seen no shit like that. Like, Cat isn't as specific to women, and his entire act isn't arced around that. D-Ray has a way of breaking down relationships that I think endears women. Corey Holcomb though I think women may start out during his set reluctant.
I don't know if anyone would describe it as endearing when Corey Holcomb.
It's at honest first. Though.
Yeah,
it is
honest, and but you it just ain't endearing. It's check it. You don't fuck with it off the rip, but by right, the, right, but it's a 60-minute show, and yeah, Corey yeah. know that.
He talks about yeah. when you work your pussy to the point where you get vaginal rejuvenation surgery. That's he goes. That's when you work your pussy so hard. You got to get a surgery, get some memory foam to restructure.
You know, I ain't got to tell you about Patrice.
Yep. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So, I mean, there's a lot of different, but that's charisma, and honesty in itself is also a form of charisma.
It doesn't pertain just to the stage either, because especially with my girl now that I'm done with, she was the girl after the roster. She survived the roster. She was on the roster, and then I let everybody else go, and I just didn't sign any more people up. And then she was the last one left because she's just great. But the honesty is the thing that turns her on, because she knows when she asks me a question that I'm not lying to her, and it's not always comfortable.
It's not nice.
It's not nice to the point where she'll go, she'll ask a question and go, oof, never mind. She's like a lawyer will withdraw her own question. She goes, you know what? I don't want to know the answer to that. I don't want to know the answer to that. But she, at the end of the day, she loves it. She respects me for it because I'm not going to bullshit her on it. And it's not always comfortable, but that's what she loves, because she knows that those are my standards.
Well, you know, do you know the dynamic? Well, the dynamic of that is that, look, you know, trust is something, there's nothing more attractive than trust.
Right.
If you got a dude with a six pack, but he's a liar, he's untrustworthy. It, even if he got the cum gutters, you know, the above the jeans, you know, the low fit jeans where he got ab muscles.
What you're talking about.
Yeah, I know.
unfamiliar.
A dude who is dishonest is, because dishonesty also means a lack of safety. If you're dishonest, you can't be safe. Safe, unsafe is always dangerous, and dangerous is not attractive. Now, we're not talking about safe, but adventurous. You know what I mean? Like, you know, maybe like, you know, what are we going to do? We're going to fuck in the bathroom. Maybe we'll fuck on the hood of the gun. I'm talking about dangerous. Like, this dude is a liar. And because he's a liar, I can't trust him. I can't relax because I don't feel safe around him. And that is the thing. Honesty, the thing about honesty is honesty doesn't necessarily mean that you like it. It just means it's the truth, and it can be verified.
It's base level of, all right, I trust the information that is presented in front
exactly.
of me.
Exactly, exactly.
And I can process it with effective data.
Yeah, yeah.
Which and is what most women are denied from men.
Most of the time, especially if they like you. Why do men lie? Like, because they like you. Because if you get an ugly chick with an eye on the middle of her forehead, you'd be like, where you going? I'm going home to my wife. And she go, I can't believe you would say that, bitch. You got an eye in the middle of your forehead. I'm honest. I can be honest with you because I don't care. Nobody lies to somebody that they don't care about, that they don't see as some value.
It's They're a trying sign to hide of respect.
Some. Yeah, it is.
Lie is the first sign of respect.
let's plug whatever you want to plug, and then we're gonna go behind the scenes for a few minutes. You got a little time?
Yeah, we good. We good, man. The special is Imperfect Messenger.
Nice.
It's streaming on the Comedy Central website, Paramount Plus, January 19th.
That's so good, right? It's
find it somewhere and bootleg it. I'm sure some third world country has gotten a hold
of it.
It's
got a copy.
And I'm fine with that. I want the exposure. I already got my money, so I don't care about it.
And Roy is hilarious.
Roy, I have to say this. I want to give you this compliment. You are effortlessly funny. Like, just effortlessly funny. I don't know if you understand what I mean by that in terms of a compliment to your comedy. Just effort, just easy. Easy like a Sunday morning, and always poignant and funny. I really enjoy you, man. I really enjoy you.
Thank you, bro.
I appreciate you. Harry, talk to me.
Thank you, man. You could go to all my stuff at Harry Turjanian on all the social media stuff. But more importantly, follow us over to Manschool, patreon.com/manschool202, where we do the bonus content and stuff. And your support helps us keep this thing rolling.
Yo, everything with me, Google me, bitch. One-on-one consultation, DanteNero.com. Click on consult. You can talk to me directly if you need to. GYBB, get your balls back. WWDD, what would Dante do? The Sexual Revolution is being podcasted. I love y'all, man. Follow us on the Patreon. Appreciate it. We are out.